28. Acts chapter 28, we'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Acts 28, verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received of us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast in the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when they should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Lord, each and every service, we come expecting you just to do something special. Lord, not all churches can say that, but we can. It's obvious your presence is here. Lord, these past several weeks with us teaching and talking about Jesus and all of our songs and music and everything focused on Jesus, I believe heaven's happy. Lord, that's why the altars have been full, our hearts have been stirred, and our lives have been changed. Father, please use our preacher again tonight in a special way. Fill him with your power, fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, my sermon will be one of those that my critics will enjoy because it will be so simple. I'll be deemed an illiterate. I'll be deemed the kind of person that doesn't know the Bible. And to them, I just say, I'm not going to let people that have never built anything tell me how to preach. I've been helping people for a long time, and I'm not trying to impress anybody with my Bible knowledge. I'm trying to change the lives of people with the Bible. And that's the purpose, and that's the purpose of this church, and I thank God for it. The title of this evening's sermon is No Little Kindness. I'm going to be extremely practical tonight. I think I'm going to find myself in a hurry. I have too much to say and not enough time in which to say it, so actually I need Brother Heidenreich to preach the sermon for me. Man, that guy can talk fast. I say take 5 minutes, and he crammed 20 minutes into 5 minutes. And so the sermon is called No Little Kindness. Now, I'm going to start out, and I'll be just a touch pointed at first, but I don't want to be unkind, but I do want to say a couple things because I need to have your attention. Boy, we have a lot of truly kind people here in our church, but we have some who think they're kind, but they're not. But nobody can tell you. Because you would consider that an unkindness towards you, and many would reject the truth. They would reject it. I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit of God could tell you. I hope you'll let Him. Some have a false impression of yourself. You have a reputation of being mean. You have a reputation of being cold. Now, many are growing in this area of kindness, and you need to keep it up. There's some that have a long way to go. And we might not like to hear that, but we need to keep growing. And let me say this while I'm thinking of it. Some give an impression of kindness. Listen, folks, if you're two-faced and you're a gossip and you're a backbiter, you have a good public personality, but you're not really kind. Having a personality and being bubbly when you're around people, but behind the scenes, if you're gossiping, negative, and you're a backbiter, you're not really kind. That's not kindness. That's phony. That's politician stuff. There are good people who, if you're not careful, you're going to hurt our church's reputation because of the way you handle yourselves. Now, that maybe I want you to see the severity of what I want us to teach and what I want us to learn this evening. Let me go back to the scripture and give you the scriptural introduction to the lesson tonight called No Little kindness. You read together earlier from Acts chapter number 28. As you read, we came to verse number 2 where the Bible says, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." Here's the story. Paul and some soldiers who had taken Paul captive, they were on a ship and they suffered a shipwreck. They swam then from the shipwreck to the shore of Mileta. When they arrived there on the shore, the Bible says that they had landed on an island or where a group of people were considered barbarians. So picture it, they've shipwrecked, they're swimming to shore. When they arrive at shore, there are barbarians waiting for them on shore. These are barbarous people, the Bible says. And look at what Paul says about the barbarians. He says, "And they showed us no little kindness." Now, what does that mean? What it means is what the kindness that these barbarians showed Paul and the soldiers was not little kindness, but it was big kindness. It was not a little kindness, but a big kindness. Now, to me, that's a shocking thing. It would be a sad thing that the barbarians in the world would know more about kindness than the people of God in the church. It says here that when these soldiers and Paul were swimming to shore, they received no little kindness. And Paul said in verse number 2, they received every one of us. In other words, nobody swimming to shore felt rejected by the barbarians. The barbarians had enough sense to show big kindness to these people. These were people they didn't even know. To the barbarians, Paul and the soldiers probably looked like barbarians. But they were kind. I was reading one day and I found that in Nehemiah 9:17 it said of God, it says, "Thou art a God of great kindness." You know, you and I as Christians, if anybody on the face of this earth ought to be kind, it ought to be born-again Christians. I can see why the world might struggle with it. They do not have the Holy Spirit of God living inside them. But those of us that are saved, we have Him who epitomizes kindness living within us. All we have to let Him do is have control. You say, "Well, this is just the way I'm put together." Then change the way you're put together and get right with God. "Well, this is just how I am." Well, then you're admitting to being wrong. But we don't have to be unkind. You say, "Well, why in the world should we be kind?" Well, we ought to be kind because of God's kindness toward us. Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. One of these days, you and I are truly going to qualify what rotten people we were based on how great He was. And when we get to heaven, we will really see the kindness of God toward a bunch of low-life scumbag sinners that have been full of pride, rejected God, sinned against Him, turned on Him, and oh, what kindness He expressed to us day by day. Now, if God, who is perfect, can be kind toward us who are imperfect, it would seem that those of us who are imperfect could be kind toward other imperfect people. You know, I say this from time to time, and I want to say it again. You do not have to be a jerk to be an old-time religion fundamentalist. You know, we don't apologize for preaching the truth around here, nor should we be constantly apologizing for our rudeness. Let's learn to stand for right and in the right way. See, our society in general is rude. It used to be you went someplace to do business and they served you. Now they think they're doing you a favor. Well, I say to everybody in here that has a business, you ought to be kind to the people that come to your business. And that's going to change here this year. Because there's not going to be enough business to go around, and some people are going to say, "Well, I'm going to go to the place that's going to treat me right." See, kindness is a revealer of love. God uses a term, loving kindness. That's used throughout the Bible. I believe a lack of kindness equals a lack of love. Loving kindness, the Bible teaches that loving kindness is a preserver of people. What does it mean? It helps them to last. Psalm 40, verse 11 says, "Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. We are preserved by the loving kindness of God, and I believe that other Christians are preserved in the local New Testament church when there is loving kindness demonstrated between God's people. People last longer in a church if loving kindness is evident. And remember, I'm not talking about those of you that are personality people and you're something totally different behind the scenes. That's just personality. I'm talking about true loving kindness. That God describes. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into some different areas of the ministry that we have around this great church, and I want to remind us of this thing of kindness. For instance, I want to start out by saying, let's just practice kindness in general around our church. Romans chapter 12, verse number 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another." Now, that verse there describes kindness, and that's how a New Testament church ought to be acting. We're to be affectionate. So I'm just not that way. Didn't get that way. I'm just not affectionate. The Bible says here, we're to spend our time showing preference to the other. And we're not talking about our standards and our convictions. We're talking about just everyday kindnesses and everyday contact with people here in our church. That means sometimes we need to put our feelings aside and prefer that affection shown to the other person. Hey, listen, folks, let me tell you something. We need to be kind to everybody because everybody's having a tough time. Just be kind to everybody. Everybody's having a tough time. You say, now what does that mean? Well, in general around the church here, you ought to be shaking hands with people. I would like to recommend that when you enter the building, you not race towards your pew, you plunk it down and sit there and not greet somebody and shake hands with them. Shake hands with people. That's just a kind thing to do. Speak to them, and especially when you're spoken to. And I'm talking about more than your holy grunt. Don't get so preoccupied you forget the ministry is all about people. It wouldn't hurt some of you to smile. Smiling is good for you. Some of you say, I'd like to lose weight. Well, let's lose some weight in your face. Exercise your face. Smile. We need to learn, hey, you know that the singing in the church has something to do with the kindness of the church. And you ought to sing. You ought to participate in the singing. Why? That's kind. Hey, there's nothing wrong with complimenting people. Just compliment people. My wife told me once, she said, honey, I decided if somebody's fishing for a compliment, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. What's wrong with that? What does that hurt? Boy, somebody comes around and they've got a new dress on, tell them. Say, I like that. Somebody comes around and, hey, who's driving this? I think it's a Ram truck sitting out here. Whose is that? It's in the visitor parking. Where's that at? Is that yours? Man, that's a nice truck. Anybody see that truck out here? That's a nice truck for a Ram. I'm saying that because Larry DeHaven said, Brother Owens, you got a nice truck for a GM. I learned that today. Hey, there's nothing wrong with complimenting people. That's kindness. Well, you see somebody come and say, hey, nice nose. Hey, when it's time to introduce visitors, why? That is a general kindness. Hey, it's very embarrassing for a visitor to be sitting near you, and for me to stand up and say, our regular people are going to introduce you and have a bunch of you sitting around a visitor, and I don't know, maybe you're shy, but folks, get over the shyness so you can be kind. Really, you need to do that. You need to get over your shyness so you're not mistaken as being rude. So you're not mistaken as being unkind. Introduce the visitors. Seek out the visitors. Shake their hand. Hey, let me give you a general kindness here at the church. Don't fuss over which Sunday school class some adult's going to attend. Got a couple of adult Sunday school classes you're getting out of hand, and I'm not, hey, I'll tell you what, most of the classes behave themselves most all the time, and I'm not even talking about program time. I mean, I'm not teaching this because of program. I know some classes that are having some competition right now, and I like it. I think it's healthy. I'm talking about for the last couple of years, I've had a couple of classes. You're almost being rude to people. And people want to come to church, and they're afraid to tell you, I'm going to this other class now. Now, it ought not be that way. And adult Sunday school teachers, you need to take the time to teach your folks that we all belong to the same church. And when the visitors come here, if they see disunity with that, that's not kindness. That's not kindness. Be kind to the other classes. Hey, care when somebody's missing. Don't be afraid to call somebody. You didn't see them at church. That doesn't mean you have to call them and say, well, you were unfaithful. You could call and say, I care about you, and I seen that maybe you weren't there, and I just want to know I miss you and I love you. We need to serve each other. Open the doors around here when somebody's trying to get through a door. Carry a box for the ladies and the sissy men. Answer questions for people. Hey, when new members join our church, congratulate them. Hey, learn how to appropriately congratulate somebody that makes a decision here at the altar. Sometimes people walk the aisle and they make a decision for God. That doesn't mean you got to go up to them and inappropriately blast them for the decision, but there's a way to go up and say, hey, I love you. I'm proud of you. Thanks for coming. Hey, we've got to learn, and we ought to all remember, there's some words that ought to be routine in our conversations. Words like, please, thank you. What would be wrong with us saying yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am to one another? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I will guarantee you, I call, when I'm traveling, I call into the church every hour on the hour. And when any one of the receptionists pick up the phone, I always greet them. I always say, would you please see if Brother Bush is in his office? Thank you very much. They work for me. I say please and thank you to the people that work for me. And it ought to be that way. Church staff, let me tell some of you something. Being hardworking does not replace the need of kindness in your life. A hard worker, I'm glad you are, but some of you need to knock it off and be kind to people. Kindness, we need to learn kindness. And the new part of the sports season is upon us. We've got some soccer going on. We're going to the baseball league before long. Kindness needs a part of what goes on out here. If you're not careful, and we have a baseball league out here, and we have a Christian league, if you're not kind, it'll turn into a secular league. You have people fussing and fighting and acting like a bunch of barbarians in the stands that can't get along. Really, just so you know, all it is a ball game. We're playing. So some of you need to get control of yourself. I'm talking about when officials make calls, you accept the call and keep your mouth shut. You say, why? We back the authority of the official. I don't want us booing the other team. And let's not be booing each other. And we don't need two women fighting behind the concession stand. I'm talking about just general kindness around the church. Other general kindnesses. Those of you that go to Martinsburg Christian Academy, you make sure that you are kind to the young people that do not have the privilege of going to Martinsburg Christian Academy. Don't shun them. You be good to them, and vice versa. And don't be arrogant around the church, and don't be arrogant Christians. Just in general, we need to be kind. Now, parking lot attendants, listen to me if you will. Let me say, there ought to be kindness if you're a parking lot attendant. Philemon 1:17 says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Here's the story. It says here, receive him as myself. The Apostle Paul is writing to Philemon. He's asking Philemon to receive a man by the name of Onesimus. He said, I want you to receive him as if it were me. Parking lot attendants. I've never had the parking lot attendants be unkind or not to give attention to me when I pull in the parking lot. Well, they're always so friendly and always so kind, and they always greet me. The Apostle Paul said to Philemon, I want you to greet this man as if he were me. If you treat anybody as they come in the parking lot any different than you treat your pastor, there's something wrong with you, and you need to get it right, parking lot attendant. And I'm not mad at any of our parking lot attendants. I think they do a good job. But I need to keep us trained. I need to teach us how to be kind. Parking lot attendants, smile. Parking lot attendants, wave when people come in. Don't be afraid to talk to them. Don't be afraid to say, good morning. How are you today? Good to see you this morning. I know you don't have to stop each car. I think if you stop every car, we're going to have a traffic jam out there. But you do need to greet people. You don't, it's rude for people to come past you and you not to at least recognize them a little bit. Recognize them. Be happy as you direct. You know, there's a thing called body language. And you're out there directing them. You know, there's some of you, you're trying to get people to go in a certain direction. You don't have to do it like this. You could calmly say, You don't need a baseball bat out there to use as a directional tool. You are our first impression makers. And again, learn to say please and thank you. And let me tell you this, as people come in, whatever you do, don't stand out there and talk negative about them. People perceive that sort of a thing. People perceive that. And we have got to make sure, parking lot attendants, let's practice kindness. Number three, let's talk about those of you that are greeters. And boy, we have greeters all over this property. Psalm 84:10 says, For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Here, God is comparing being a doorkeeper or a greeter. I'd rather do that for one day than 1,000 years or days anywhere else. And I think that's a wonderful thing. That's a good comparison. Let me say to all the greeters, don't you be so busy fellowshipping with other greeters that you ignore people entering the buildings. Let me say to the greeters, watch your breath. Please. Watch your breath. Make your breath fresh. Shake hands with people when they come in. Again, smile. Open the door for them. Serve them. Take visitors to their classes. This is a big church. 72 Sunday school classes. Now that scares people. So, greeters, you be ready to help them to make their way to their class. Show them where the nurseries are. Never be too busy again with talking to another greeter that somebody feels they're being snubbed. Don't do that. And I'm even talking about our regulars. Greeters, so you know, you're there to greet visitors. You're there to greet everybody. And you do. And you're a good group of people. But I want to push the reset button. Next week is Easter. Everybody ought to leave here feeling like this is a very kind church. Hey, let me tell you something. Memorize their names and use their names. Get to know them. Be able to say, hey, Brother Joe. Hey, Brother Tom. Hey, I'm glad to see you. And never, never at the doors be gossiping. People perceive that. People perceive that. Never make negative comments about people. You know, here comes trouble. Look how she's dressed. You need to mind your own business and be a good greeter and greet people. There's an attitude. Listen, every one of the greeters ought to have this attitude. You ought to want everybody to like all of the rest of us because of you. Everybody that comes here likes all of the rest of us because of you. That ought to be your attitude. Learn to say please and thank you. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Let me go on. Let me talk to our nursery workers. And what a good group of ladies, and what a difficult job. But there ought to be kindness as nursery workers. Proverbs 31:26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And I'll say, and this is always true, nursery directors, assistant directors, you ought to set the pace. It never ought to be. Now, if those folks aren't going to set the pace, then you're going to have a hard time getting the followers to do right. You get a nursery director that's negative, you're going to have a bunch of followers that are negative. You get an assistant director that's negative, you're going to have a bunch of negative followers. You got to step up. You got to be kind. You got to step up and do it. Listen, when people bring their babies to the nursery, smile. Greet them. Use their name. Learn their children's names. Let them see that you care. It's not just a duty. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege. You're serving God's people. We have some policies here. When a child is sick that's going into one of our nurseries, you take, for instance, if the nasal mucus, and that's a couple of words for snot, is yellow or green, we feel like then that the baby's sickness is contagious and they're not supposed to be in our nurseries. You've got to learn how to appropriately handle that. You don't have to embarrass somebody. You don't have to say something in front of a bunch of people, but you can call them aside and say, boy, I'm so sorry. It looks like the baby's not feeling well. And the policy is, and the preachers ask us that when this happens, we just can't accept the baby because others are going to get sick. And boy, I want to, but I can't. You got to learn how to be gentle. You got to learn how to be kind. When a baby has a fever, again, we feel like something contagious is going on. But you've got to learn how to be kind in rejecting them. Hey, leave nursery workers. We've got to do this. Leave your bad attitude at home. Say, I'm having a rough day. Leave it at home. You're not helping us by standing in that door and you're mad at your husband and you're going to take it out on everybody else's wife and their children. And do this. Better work at it. Never develop a bad attitude toward any child. All the children ought to be treated kindly. Never, 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 not even in jest should it ever be said, well, I don't like that child. That child's a brat. We ought to grow up, Christian. You're there to minister to them and to help them. And even if that were true, it's not your place to say it. Listen, when first-time children come in, and we're trying to deal with the parents with a first-time child in one of our nurseries, go the extra mile. Don't be afraid to explain things. That's why all the nursery workers need to be here and on time. If you got a couple of nursery workers, one can be receiving and the other could be attending to the children, and we're not all locked down to where we can't take a moment with a new parent that's got a new child. I think when you got a new baby coming in, get to know the mom a little bit, explain things a little bit, hey, and welcome them and let them know we love the children. Hey, make sure you've got your smock on. Make sure you look like you're first class. Make sure that you're happy. Make sure you receive them in the Holy Spirit of God. That'll make a difference. Never in the nursery should you sit there and gossip. Never. It's a funny thing. I go during the Sunday school hour, there sometimes I go and stand outside the nursery doors. Isn't that interesting? You say, when? Why would I want to tell you when? But you should never be gossiping. You're gossiping right in front of those people. You say, what people? Those children. Those children. Anytime you're dealing with people's children, it's hard. And they can be hard to please. Because I think they love their kids and they're sincerely wanting what's best for their kids. You say, it's hard. Well, let's try to do it anyway. Let's exercise kindness toward the children and toward their parents. Hey, I need to ask all the parents in here, exercise some kindness toward the nursery workers. Some of you are very rude. Some of you are very curt. Hey, be reasonable when you give them your list of expectations. Your list is 10 o'clock, I want the baby fed. 10:05, I want the baby changed. 10:15, I want the baby rocked. 10:20, I want the baby fed again. 10:25, we're going to have to cancel church and take all 1,000 people to watch your baby. Now, you're going to have to be reasonable. And we need to be reasonable with one another. And there's nothing wrong with saying please and thank you and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's go on. Ushers. We ought to be kind as ushers. Ushers shake hands with folks when they come in. The Bible says in Psalm 45, verse number 7, it says, "Thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness." We need some people to be anointed with the oil of gladness. Smile, ushers. Look, especially when you're taking the offering. Smile. That's not a good time to have a bad attitude. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Let's cheer them up. Help people to find their seats as a service to them. I'll tell you something, ushers, when you're helping them to find a seat as you bring them in, talk to them, and hey, there's nothing wrong if you, especially you bring a visitor in. You bring a visitor in, introduce them to the people that you're going to set them beside. Take a moment for that. You know, we have a policy. We don't bring babies into our service, but you need to be careful how you handle it when they come in. You all know, I usually touch it if I see it. I know how to touch it when I'm describing our policies here at the church. But ushers, you need to learn it. You need to learn when we have an ushers meeting, go to us. Or Brother Hollinger can talk to you about it and coach you through it. It wouldn't hurt. See, if somebody brought a baby in and it was going to disrupt the service, if you'd already been kind to them and you had greeted them and had some small talk with them and you knew their name and you had been good to them, it'll make it a little bit easier when you walk up and explain. Maybe they'd like to step out and you could show them where the nursery is so they'd be more comfortable during the service. And the baby would get some special care during the service in that nursery. But when you've never met them and you've never talked to them and they walk right past you and you were busy talking to another usher because you were so busy talking about fishing, and they sit down and they're sitting there and they think you're cold, and then you walk over and said, take the kid out. There's a reason why they react the way they react. Because there ought to be kindness. Ushers, you are like internal greeters here in the auditorium. We've got the greeters on the outside doors when people come in. You're a greeter in the auditorium. And again, don't be so busy fellowshipping that you forget to do your job. Learn the names of the people and use those names. When you're seating people, kindly request that they follow you. Again, you know, all you have to do is say, if you'll come with me, I'll help you get a seat. And again, you just need to take a moment and make it kind and make it gentle. Thank people for coming. All people. There's nothing wrong with it. If someone's a member and they're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, did you know there's nothing at all wrong with you saying, boy, I appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate you coming. And learn to say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and please, and thank you. Those are all good things. Hey, let's talk about kindness with the bus captains and the bus workers. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. If you're going to be a bus captain or a bus worker, you must learn how to love. That's all there is to it. You're dealing with those that don't understand love and many that are rough around the edges. When on bus visitation, don't be rude. When you're out there on bus visitation, watch how you park your car and watch parking in somebody's grass and watch how you handle yourself. Really, bus captains, bus workers, our goal is to serve the riders. Say, I'm just bus kids. You got it all wrong. Those are human beings. Those young people are important. They're important to God. And you ought to serve them. Hey, bus captain, serve your driver. Serve those workers. When you're going to, let's say you're going to be a little late getting the young people home from church. Maybe you're going to have a picnic. Maybe you're going to have a little activity after church. Bus captains, bus workers, I would think that you would then do the service to the parents on visitation on Saturday to say, now tomorrow after church, we're gonna have a little picnic at the church, and we're going to get the kids home about 30 minutes late. You'd keep from having irate parents that way. It's called kindness. It's called thinking ahead. If you're late and they're upset, what's wrong with you saying, I'm sorry? Thank the parents for allowing those kids to come. There shouldn't be name-calling going on. You shouldn't be calling some kid on your bus a punk or a brat. And never should you physically try to control them. Not in junior church, not in primary church, not in King's Kids, not in Young Fundamentals. You're not, hey, in this day and age, you're going to have to keep your hands off of them. But you need to be kind, and sometimes some kindness will take care of that. And, hey, even with the bus kids, can't we learn to say please and thank you? Could we learn that? Let's talk about kindness with the unkind people. Some people try you on this. Some people can make it hard on you. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We're to be kind one toward another. Now, let me tell you something. If you're dealing with somebody that's not kind and they've got that reputation, don't on purpose irritate them. You know, we used to have a dog that lived up the alley from us. We could go down the alley, and if you'd take a stick over to the gate where he was, and you'd take that stick over, that dog would go nuts. I mean, he was a ferocious dog. There's some of you, you know who's unkind, and you take a stick to him about every week. You go antagonize them just to hear them grunt or be mean. Don't do that. One of these days, you're going to get bit. And if it's the one I'm thinking about, you're going to end up with rabies or some other disease. Say, what do I do? Love them. Learn from them. Don't be like them. Can I tell you something? My experience is, in most cases, people that are rude have been hurt. Now, some of you are going to use that as an excuse to go ahead and be rude, and you're wrong. You are wrong. But my experience is, a lot of times, those people that are rude, that are cold, that are unresponsive, have been hurt. And that's why they are the way they are. Pray for them and love them and be kind to the unkind and not in an antagonistic way. You say, well, Brother Owens, what do I do if somebody's an enemy of my church? You're going to find if we stick at this thing for long, there are going to be people that would like to destroy our church. They'd never admit to that, but they'll be used to the devil. And always remember this. Even people that want to try to hurt this church, the devil can deceive them. The devil can use them. They're just a pawn in the devil's game. He doesn't care about them. He'll use them and dispose of them. So you always remember our real enemy is the devil. You always keep that in mind. That'll keep you from getting bitter. That'll keep you from getting beat up too bad. But, you know, I want to be an enemy toward no one. And I have no animosity in my heart toward anybody. I pray for the people that would consider themselves my enemy. I tell you this, you get around somebody that seems to be an enemy to our church, I think you need to politely stand your ground. But could I advise something? Don't argue. What's the use? Why argue? You're just going to get hot and get in the flesh. Don't argue. Don't hit. Children, don't hit. Don't attack back. Just avoid them. That's all you have to do. Avoid them and pray for them and sincerely pray for them. But you need to learn to be kind. I'm kind to my enemies. Some people get upset with me because I'm so kind to my enemies. But that's all right. That's all right. I've got to stand before God. Let's talk about kindness to someone that's a gossip. Gossiping tongues can be stopped by eliminating the ears that they could poison. If someone feels that you will listen to gossip, it's a slap to your Christianity because they feel that like you're lowering yourself to listen. They think you're a weak enough Christian to listen. So that's not a compliment. Now, sometimes it takes a little courage to be kind. Kindly say to someone that wants to talk negative, just say, please, let's not talk about that. And that ought to be it. And if they won't listen, then you need to separate. Kindly say, I prefer not to hear that, so let's change the subject. Could we please? Say, I'm sorry. That's not my business, and I'd rather stay uninvolved in that. And let's just talk about something else. Now, if you can't make those very polite, kind statements, you'll end up being a gossip yourself. Because you will repeat what you have heard. You've got to have enough courage to say, let's not talk about that. And, hey, if somebody ever stands up to you and says, let's not talk about that, you ought to thank God for such a strong Christian. You ought to thank God for someone to have the courage to say to you, we should not talk about that. We all need to both ourselves and somebody else needs to for us every once in a while say, we shouldn't be talking about that. And so you can be kind to a gossip if you handle it right. Let's talk about the kindness to the backslidden people that are coming maybe back to God. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. First of all, people that are backslidden away from God when they're trying to come back to God, don't you ever develop an arrogant attitude because it could be you that's away from God. It could be you. Anything that any other human being is capable of, so are you and so am I. When you see someone that's been away from God and they want to come back, well, greet them. Don't be afraid of them. I know sometimes we're wondering, what do I do? There they are, and I've not seen them in a long time, and it startles you a little bit. But don't be afraid of them. Now, don't go overboard in your greeting. You don't see somebody that's been out of church for months and not living right, and they're coming in, and you say to everybody, hey, what? Who's here? No, that's the last thing that they wanted. They wanted to come in and almost be unnoticed, but if we don't notice them, we're in trouble. Because they'll say, well, I came back and nobody cares. But if you go overboard and say, I came back and everybody's just pointing out the fact that I was back. They're unspiritual, so they're hard to know how to handle, and you got to be wise when you do it. So don't go overboard. Don't say things like, I wonder if the roof's going to cave in today. No. You don't say, long time no see. No, that would be the wrong thing to say. Look what the dogs drug in. No, that'd be the wrong thing to say. But they need to be greeted. Listen, I think if you go to them and sincerely and simply say, I'm glad to see you. God bless you for being here today. Now, that's easy if you do that all the time with everybody else. And that's what you need to do. Leave the past in the past. Just forget about it. There are people, one of the hardest things is this. I'll guarantee you there are people outside our church that want to come back to our church, but they're having a hard time doing it. They wonder how they'll be received. Now, they've got a pride issue to overcome, but they have a fear issue in how they're going to be treated. Let's treat them right. Let me talk to you for a moment about kindness in regard to being a Sunday school teacher. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 24, it says, be gentle unto all men apt to teach. Gentleness there is a part of this thing called kindness. Listen, be careful as you teach Sunday school that you do not embarrass your students in what you do in your teaching. You could hurt a student by unwisely using them as an example. You take a student that maybe mom and dad have gone through a divorce and that's painful for everybody. And somehow a teacher thinks that they should pull a student up in front of everybody or use their name and say, well, Joe here went through it and he made it okay. You better be very careful. You could hurt someone that way. You've got to be careful not to embarrass them in your teaching. And I would recommend this. I think you need to teach. I think you need to teach with passion. I think you need to teach with spirit. I think you need to teach with drive. But I think you need to leave the preaching to the preaching. Let me do the preaching. And you do the teaching. It's called Teaching Sunday School, and we're having a morning preaching service. If you'll do that, that will help you. Some of you would like to help clean the clocks of the people. Let me be the clock cleaner, if you would, please. Don't attack people when you teach. It should not be that way. Well, I think one of the greatest kindnesses that could be expressed from a teacher and an assistant teacher toward their classes is visiting their members at home. Visit them all. And I'm talking about even those that are faithful to church already. If you've got some children in your class and their parents come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I think you still ought to go visit those kids at home. I think just because Joe Cowling is on staff, he has children in your Sunday school class, and you say, well, those kids are at church all the time. Those kids are kids just like everybody else's kids, and they need a Sunday school teacher that loves them, that cares about them, and I think it is kind to go and visit all the kids, and especially absentees. We need teachers and assistant teachers to be visiting the absentees and making phone calls and doing what they can to say, hey, we missed you. Hey, learn the names of the people in your class. Greet them and make them feel comfortable. Even when you must discipline, discipline in kindness. You say, well, that didn't work. Okay, you may have to get a little stronger, but you ought to always start by being kind and gentle and trying that way. Let me talk to you for a moment about kindness in a telephone. Let me ask you, when you answer your telephone, can people hear the smile in your voice? Cell phones are out of control in America. They virtually are. First of all, the filth of being able to exchange pictures and all the filth and the texting, it's out of control. Out of control. Out of control. But you need to learn to make sure you turn that phone off during church. Shouldn't be on during weddings. It should not be interrupting funerals. There should be no texting going on during the youth meeting. We've got some young adults that they're doing it repetitively, and we have some parents that don't have the courage to stand up to them and make them stop. They think it's cute. They laugh about it. It's not right. Some of you need to watch as you're driving and how you're endangering other people while you're driving. It's rude. It's rude. Some of you just need to learn how to answer the phone. I'm talking about here at church. I've got 40-some staff members. You need to learn how to answer the phone. I've tried and tried and tried to teach you. But some of you, you answer the phone, you need to slow down. You know, when you call somebody, can I tell you something? If you call someone, you'll hear me say this often. I'll call and I'll say, hey, is this a bad time? Or have I caught you at a bad time, or should I call back at another time? We just automatically assume that we can take that time. Be kind. Don't answer the phone and make people feel like you're too busy to answer and they have inconvenienced you. Be happy. Good morning. How are you today? Instead of your phone rings and say, what? Yes? Jeff Owens? It's funny. I can call members' homes. And if they don't have a caller ID, you got to hear how they answer their phone. Yes, this is Brother Owens. Oh, hi, Brother Owens. How are you today? It's funny. What's wrong? We need to practice kindness. Let me say this. We need to practice kindness to those people who do not understand our standards and our separation. You need to realize that the lost won't and can't totally understand separation from the world. And don't expect them to. Be cautious with your conversations as not to discuss with them things that they obviously will be offended with and they're not ready for anyway. A church with old-fashioned Bible-based separation and standards needs much kindness to balance out its separation stand. We don't need to change our standards. Some of us just need to change the way we stand for our standards. We believe that men and ladies are to dress differently. Now look, if you see a man in the community wearing a skirt, go ahead and be kind to him. We should learn to say please and thank you and be kind, and I'm just telling you all, there's sometimes you let your standards and your convictions go to your head to the point that you almost think that that you have arrived and everybody else is not. Those standards and separation issues, they're there to clean us up so we're usable, not so that we abuse people with them. It makes us usable. The closer you get to God and the more you separate from the world, the more you'll be used by God. And I can prove that. I can show you around. I can show you who's winning souls, who's changing lives, who's teaching Sunday school. I can show it to you. I can prove that to you. But we need to learn kindness to people in regard to our standards and our convictions. We need to learn kindness when we're correcting people. Psalm 141, verse number 5 says, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities." Now here the Bible says, if the righteous smites or corrects someone, that correction is a kindness, but the correction should be done in kindness. Look, if someone has done something wrong, they've done wrong, and really they've gone against the Bible. And all we're trying to do is to help correct their infraction from the Word of God. That doesn't mean you have to attack them. You know, you can correct without making it a personal launched attack. It didn't have to be personal. Problem is, most of us are more worried about how that their infraction hurt us, not how it hurt God. So it becomes personal. Don't be rude. Don't destroy the dignity of the person that you're correcting. There doesn't need to be name-calling. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. After you've corrected, if it's somebody in Sunday school, somebody in school, somebody on your bus route, whatever it is, after you've taken the time to correct them, take the time to make sure that the relationship is stable afterwards and they know that you still love them and that this is not a parting of the ways forever. Hey, and I'll tell you something else about correcting people. Never make anybody wrong all the time. There's more than one person wrong. How about kindness toward the lost? And you hang in there, we're almost done. Almost too much kindness for one night. Kindness toward the lost. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Hey, let's let the goodness and the kindness of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church draw people to the Savior. Let's not let our rudeness drive them away. Again, don't argue standards and convictions with lost people. They don't understand it. When you're out soul winning, be kind. For the longest time, one of the first things I learned about soul winning is one of your first jobs is to win them to yourself, then introduce them to your Savior. That's called kindness. And if they reject Christ, you don't say, "Fine, go to hell then." You laugh. I've had reports of people that do that. You ought to leave the door open for another soul winner to come by and to build upon the foundation that you have laid. Learn to say please and thank you and be kind and generous to people when you're out and about. Let me say this, and I'm finished. Again, I wish I had another hour. Let me talk to you about kindness toward other churches of like faith. Folks, first of all, it is not proselyting when they do not preach the gospel. We go out and win people to Christ that were going to some church and they've never been given the gospel and they're not preaching the gospel and we try to get them to come here. We're not robbing a church. That's not a church. People aren't getting folks saved. That's not a church. So we've not done anything wrong there. But let me use a term here that some of you need to understand. It's called ethics. Ethics. What are ethics? It's in honor preferring one another. Let me give you some of the ethics that I practice. I wish I could get some of you to practice. For instance, I don't counsel other pastors' church members without permission from that pastor. Not from churches in this area? No, not at all. I don't counsel their members without permission from that pastor. I can have people. I can point to people here. I can point to people here. I can point to people all across this auditorium who, even when they came to this church from another church, I talked to their pastor before they came. I would not counsel them until their pastor had given me permission to counsel, because I think that is very unethical, and I'm not going to be unkind to other churches like that. That makes sense to all of you? It's called ethics. It's something that people used to practice, but they don't practice anymore. I don't try to recruit members to join our church from other churches of like faith. I don't do that. I don't want you to do that. If somebody's got a good old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church, leave them alone. We're not trying to get them to move over here. That's unethical. That's not right. That's inappropriate. And so I don't counsel other people's members. I don't do it behind their back. And again, I could probably have 20 families that are in this church where their pastor said, "It is okay for you to go there. You need that place. That's okay." But they did it, and I made them go through their pastor. I didn't plot it, didn't plan it behind his back. I let him lead it. Because it's called ethics. It virtually does not exist in Christianity anymore. I don't try to recruit members from other independent fundamental Baptist churches. We don't contact, write, or visit. You know, when we have visitors, so you know, somebody from up in a church in Hagerstown that's an independent fundamental Baptist church member, if they come down here from up there at that church and they visit my church, I will not let anybody on my staff, or will I go up and visit them and try to get them to come back to our church. I think it's unethical. You say, why? Well, if they're already in a good church, we're not trying to get people to hop all over the place. They need to stay there and be loyal to their pastor. You know, so I'll tell you this. As our church grows, and there's coming a day when we'll start starting churches all over the East Coast, I will help none of my preacher boys or folks to start churches close to another good fundamental Baptist church. You say, why? Well, I think it's inappropriate. There are plenty of places in America where there is no independent fundamental Baptist church. Why would someone want to go near a good fundamental Baptist church and start another one? I think it's unethical. I think it's unethical for someone to leave one church and go up the road and start another church just up the road. I think that's terribly unethical. And as we send preacher boys out, we're going to teach them ethics. I'm not going to be sending them out near somebody else that's got a decent church. I think that's wrong. Now, you say, I disagree. Well, then you may disagree, but I would like to be ethical with other churches and pastors. That's called, to me, that's called kindness. That's called kindness. Again, there are plenty of places to start churches. I don't attack other independent fundamental Baptist churches. I don't put my nose in their business. And let me tell you this. I travel the country. Nobody here has as many people from other churches approach me. Nobody. I'll guarantee it. People trust me all across this country. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but people trust me all across this country. But I'll tell you something. I have people from all across the country approach me about something going on or happening at their church. And I always insist that they talk to their pastor and they be loyal to their pastor always. You can go to no church in America where I have undermined some pastor's authority with his members. Don't do it. And almost every trip that I take around the world, I traveled to 44 different churches this year, somebody will come up to me and say, Brother Owens, let me ask you something about a church here. The minute I think it's going down a path where they're going to be critical of the church or critical of the pastor, I shut them down and I say, look, your pastor's a good man. You need to get to him and talk to him about that. You need to get his help about that. What's it called? It's called kindness. At least that's what I call it. I'm trying to be kind to other churches and kind to other pastors. The only people that really, really like the ethics that I practice toward other churches is when it applies to them, and they're the beneficiary. When they're the ones that's broken the ethics, they dislike that. So they'll disagree with me. Kindness.